We are pitching a tent, getting tips on fall and winter camping on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. So do you have a sleeping bag to keep you toasty on a frosty late autumn night? What about in December? Can you do it? The leaves turn, snow falls, the crowds vanish. It allows us to see our state in a whole new way and safely in solitude, I may add, amid the pandemic. What's your favorite memory of winter camping? We're at 800-642-1234. That's where conversation is at, 800-642-1234. Kevin Rebelinski is a travel writer, author of 15 books, including Best Tent Camping Wisconsin. Kevin, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thanks for having me on again.
Well, I understand you recently got back from a camping trip this week. Where'd you go?
Oh, well, we went up around, we went to Mirror Lake for a couple nights and then a couple nights in Buckhorn State Park. And we did a lot of paddling on the Wisconsin and the Baraboo and Lemon Weir Rivers.
How was so, it? Yeah, go
it
ahead.
It was fantastic. We lucked out. I mean, we had that rain, you know, coming in the week before, but it was all sunny, a little bit cold at night, which was a surprise. But the leaves are starting to turn, maybe 25%, and the water levels were good. And the bugs, well, not quite to the level of dead that we would like them.
Did you see many people out there?
Yes. In fact, on the weekends, the state parks really filled up. So we shifted our trip so that we would camp during the week. We had that flexibility. But yeah, most of the camps, when we were looking for sites, almost everything was full in state parks on weekends.
Yeah.
People are really getting out there this year, which is great. But tough when you're trying to plan a trip at the last minute.
So you found during the work week, you were able to get more options for camping.
Definitely. And there are sites that open up on the weekends, or maybe there's one day, you know, so it's difficult to get the two together on a weekend. But what I really like about the state parks, it's new in the last couple of years, reservation system, is you can look at that park for the dates and find out what dates and what sites are open. You can even get pictures of the site itself. And if that's full, you can back out to, say, southwestern Wisconsin for those dates and say, okay, is there any state park that has something open on these dates?
And I love how it's like red light, yellow light, green light. I mean, it's pretty slick.
Yeah, it is. It'll show you that, well, 1 year days is available. So, and then you can plan around that, too. Of course, the alternative to that is to go beyond the state parks and use some county parks, national forest parks, dispersed camping. You know, there's a lot of variety here in Wisconsin. We're fortunate that.
Tell us more about dispersed camping. What is that?
Well, it's in national parks, you are allowed to camp without a campground. So that's seriously roughing it. You find this primarily in Wisconsin. If you want to go hiking, you would find this on like the Ice Age Trail, where there's areas where it's okay for you to just pitch your tent and leave no trace, of course, you know, after you're done. Yeah, that's it.
How's your sleeping pad these days? Because that's like your prized possession. I know that about you, Kevin.
It's true. You know, when I was younger, we just sleep on whatever. You know, there's tree roots under your back, no big deal. But you know, you get older, that's not fun. So, a number of years ago, I finally invested in a sleeping pad. Not something fancy. Maybe it's a $50 item. You can get very nice ones with closed cells that you can sleep in on winter snow with them. Mine's a self-inflating and very portable and packs into a nice little bag.
Speaking of winter snow, do you change your sleeping bag out for fall winter camping?
I would if I'm going snow camping. I don't do a lot of snow camping. I'm more of a fall weather person. But you do want to get a hardy bag for something like winter camping. In the fall, a lot of these commercial bags might be rated down to the 40s or 50s, in which case, yeah, you do have to keep your eye on the thermometer there. The big fluffy flannel Coleman type things that you get at Fleet Farm probably aren't going to work when it goes below freezing. I've got a mummy bag that I use for colder weather. Then it kind of seals, well, as the name suggests, seals you up like a mummy. And
seals you in.
Yeah, seals you in and zips around your head and everything. So that's important when it's cold out. Also in cold weather camping, I recommend having a hat. I mean, that may sound obvious, but...
wear that hat at night, absolutely.
Wear your hat at night, yeah, or a hooded sweatshirt.
We have Kevin Revelinsky, travel writer, as we talk about fall, winter camping, and we'll continue this conversation ahead here on the Ideas Network. We're getting a preview of fall and winter camping in Wisconsin on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. So here's something to bear in mind. Apparently, we need to eat a lot of food when we're winter camping because we'll burn more calories as our body works to stay warm. Do you need tips on a cook stove? How do you like to cook on your winter camping expeditions? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Kevin Revelinsky is a travel writer. He's our guide to camping in the cooler months. So, Kevin, you know, what is on your meal planning chart when you go camping? You know, what's on your menu?
Well, we're not vegetarians, so we eat a lot of meat.
Okay.
We hot dogs, burgers, we like getting stuff over the fire there. But it's not to say that we can't pack meals that have a lot of vegetables in them. I've in the past made a lot of packets with tinfoil, and you have these prepared meals that, you know, from home that you bring and just set in the embers to heat them up. I also bring hard-boiled eggs. That's a favorite, so mm-hmm. that you don't have to get the fire going in the morning to get breakfast. I have a thermos French press, which I find, you know, maybe more important than the
nice.
Food.
thermos French press. I had to think about
it's
that first.
Great,
the thermos.
It?
That is. Okay. Yeah. Right.
It was a gift. It was a gift from somebody, and I think that it's a Stanley, uh-huh. and it's, you know, it's like a regular thermos, but it's got a little. Let's call it plastic filter that you push down inside of it, and then the lid flips up so you can drink out of it like a, you know, like a regular Starbucks cup or something.
Well, let me ask you this: do you still have to hoist your stuff into the trees? Are bears an issue?
They are, depending on where you camp.
Okay.
The further south you go, that's less of an issue. Then it's more of the raccoons coming through and picking through everything. But, you know, the bears are moving south, it seems to me. There are parks, for example, Newport up in Door County, that actually have boxes at the campsite that you can put your equipment and your food inside to keep the animals away.
Yeah.
But certainly, if you get up north, the bears come digging around, so you want to hoist it up there.
So, if you
I haven't done that in years, though.
If you had to choose just one, what is your absolute favorite place for fall camping in Wisconsin? And now, when you give this away, of course, everyone's going to want to go there. But
well, everyone already does go there, I think. Copper Falls.
Oh,
I just absolutely love that park. There's so much color there. You've got, you know, two dramatic rivers and several dramatic waterfalls. The campgrounds are really nice. I love being up north. You can do day trips out of there if you actually get bored, which I find unlikely. Miles of hiking, including the North Country National Scenic Trail through that park. So I guess that's a pretty obvious one. But otherwise, into the National Forest, Shawamigan National Forest or Nicolet, the portion of it, there are a lot of great campgrounds that people just overlook, and maybe it only has six sites at it. For example, Chipmunk Rapids is one I like to throw out there. It's on the Pine River. It's just a loop with a pit toilet and a water pump, and you show up and you pay self-pay, and you're usually alone.
Beautiful.
So, quite the opposite.
That's awesome. And then, you know, in terms of your canoe, do you portage in? What do you do about your canoe?
It depends on where I'm going. I like to do, if I'm alone and we don't have a shuttle, then I like to go to places like Turtle Flambeau Flowage, where you can, you know, paddle in and camp on an island and then paddle back to your takeout point, so you don't need that shuttle. Otherwise, for camping, nothing's finer than the Wisconsin with those sandbars. You get a friend to leave a car at the takeout and then camp as you go, just find a spot. This last weekend, we were above Lake Wisconsin, and the water was still pretty high, it seemed, or it was just coming down from all the rain.
Okay.
But there were already people on sandbars there, too. Most people think of the last 92 miles from, you know, Sauk City down to the Mississippi as being the place where all the sandbar camping happens, but there's more in other places as well.
Kevin Revelinsky, travel writer. He's our guide to camping, winter camping in particular. How about camping on an island? A shout out to Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. Pitch a tent on one of the park's 20 islands. We'll continue this conversation ahead. News update is next. Stay with us for more Wisconsin Weekend here in the Ideas Network. So are you ready to go winter camping? Give it a try. We're getting tips as we get set to pitch a tent on those frosty days. Have you thought about whether your tent can hold an overnight snowfall? What are your tips for making a roaring campfire? Bring on the s'mores action. I layer in peppermint patties. I love that. How do you stay warm, well fed, safe, and comfortable? Did you go camping more this year because of the pandemic? 800-642-1234. Kevin Rebelinski is a travel writer. He's our guide to camping in our state. So, Kevin, you know, as you head out and you pack up your all your stuff with you, I know you don't want to be loaded down with gear, but in the winter, things can get cold. So you do want to, you know, have enough clothing, have enough food with you. How do you still pack light but stay warm?
That's a good question. You pack things that hopefully you're going to be able to use more than once, first of all. And having outer clothes, I think, with a shell and also with a to keep the wind out, and also a good fabric that's going to, you know, sweat-wicking fabric that also breathes. So something like wool, polyester, actually even bamboo. Cotton is not useful in that purpose.
Cotton, not your friend.
Not your friend there. You have the backup clothes, but, you know, understand that you're roughing it, so maybe you don't need to have an outfit for every moment, but at the same time, you don't want to be stuck with a bunch of wet clothing and not have something for a backup. The beauty of car camping, of course, is you can get away with overpacking a little bit. but if you're putting it on your back and marching off through the forest, then that's going to be a bigger deal to make sure that you've minimized as much as possible without putting yourself in a bind.
I've noticed those contraptions people are putting on the top of their cars and sleeping on the tops, tenting on the top of their vehicles. What's that about?
That's I don't normally use those. I've only used those overseas and trips like safaris or about a year ago, I was in Namibia in the Skeleton Coast and we had those on top of our trucks. They're fantastic. They just fold right down and your tent's up already and you're away from any problems with bears or raccoons. And it's so portable. They're a little pricey, a little more than my Coleman. But a friend of mine just purchased one and I'm waiting for it to arrive so I can see it. But it's about, I think he's paid maybe $900 for it. But they're pretty slick. The one he's getting is a two-person, and that I imagine is kind of the standard. It's as big as you could get on your car.
Right, yeah. So, I would imagine you wouldn't want to topple off of that. You know, in terms of tents, you know, I want something really straightforward that doesn't have a lot of bells and whistles on it, that can just be easily put together, put it up, put it down, be on your way. Are tents contraptions, or do you see them really becoming more streamlined?
Huh. Well, I think hard to say. Okay. I would say that one thing I would like to see in the tent industry is a little more honesty in how many people fit inside the tent. They always tell you three, and that really means about one and a half, like an adult with a child or something. But they've improved so much over the years in terms of the quality and, I don't know. You can get lost in the world of tent shopping, like just about anything else.
Sure.
Like, ooh, I want that feature. But I've kept mine very basic. And
has yours held up over the years?
They have, and there was one of my first ones I kept way too long, because that waterproofing is not forever, and I found that out the hard way when I woke up with a moat inside the tent around me in a tropical storm.
Oh, dear.
So you do have to take care of them, and eventually some of these things wear out, or need to have things reapplied to make them waterproof again.
And that's, I think, a really good point that you make there, is always be careful of that rising water, especially as you go to sleep at night. You certainly don't want to get caught.
Yeah. And another element that we haven't discussed is firewood. In the past, when I've gone camping, that hasn't been much of an issue. But now with COVID restrictions and also environmental restrictions on how you can move firewood, it's become a little more tricky. Last weekend, we weren't certain that we could get firewood at the state park we were going to, because they weren't selling it this year. And they gave us some ideas for a place down the road from the park that we could get it at, and they didn't have any either. There is a rule for the state parks that you are not to bring in firewood for more than 10 miles away from the state park. So now that gets a little tricky. For the national parks, it's about 25 miles, actually.
Why do you think? Yeah, I'm wondering, what's going on there? Why aren't the parks selling firewood?
I think that's mostly because of COVID right now. Just not having personal contact. Although we saw at Mirror Lake that it was a self-serve. You just deposit the money in a box. So I really don't know. It varies among all the different parks. And there is a certification for firewood. So you can buy firewood from further, outside those the 10-mile, 25-mile distances, as long as it's certified by the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, that it's pest-free, which, then you can bring it from as far away as home. So you can plan, but you need to plan ahead in that case. Check with that park or your destination. You can, of course, gather deadfall at your campsite. That's within your right as a camper, but that can be dicey as well. You end up with a lot of imperfect wood, and maybe you've gone to a place that's been picked over by previous campers. So.
Yeah, you want to make sure that tent is away from the fire pit as well.
Also, yes. Yeah, I think last weekend one of my friends started to melt his boot on the fire ring, so you can only get so close, I guess, to that fire. Build a bigger one.
We're talking with Kevin Revolinsky, who is a travel writer, photographer. His blog is called The Mad Traveler. We're getting tips on fall and winter camping with your experiences along the way. You can join in at 800-642-1234. So, Kevin, some campsites throughout the state close around mid-October. Are there places that you can go in the state where you can camp year-round?
Yeah. Again, it depends on each of the parks.
Okay.
For example, Rocky Arbor, which is a great place to go camping, beautiful hiking. It's almost like going to Jurassic Park back in there with the sandstone formations and all the ferns. But they closed Labor Day weekend, and that's typical of every year. It's not just a COVID thing. Other camps are open, or other state parks, rather, and their campgrounds are open all year round. So even after November 1st, which is sort of their winter starting date, let's say, the camp is open for people to come in, but there might not be the services you expect during summer. For example, there won't be showers. Flush toilets probably are shut off, so you'd have the pit toilets. And,
you'd be roughing it.
A water. Yes, you would definitely be roughing it and probably a little chilly.
So if you're going to pitch your tent on snow, are there some things that you should bear in mind?
Yes. Again, sleeping pads. For sure, you need a sleeping pad then, because otherwise the ground itself will just take the heat right out of you and your bag. But you should flatten it out very carefully, because once it refreezes with a footprint underneath your back, you will regret that. So, of course, the pad probably helps you, but you want to smooth out your camping area there. But the snow insulates as well up along the sides of your tent. So,
well, before we have to let you go, are you planning any more camping trips this fall?
I am. In about a week, we're going up to the UP to the Porcupines. To camp there, and then probably over to Brule near Iron River.
Yeah, what attracts you there over to Iron River?
The leaves, family, the Delta Diner, White Winter Winery. There's so much stuff up there, both natural and the people. I just love that area.
We can't,
the colors are great.
Yeah, we can't fault you for being fully transparent about your motivations.
Yeah, right.
Oh, dear. Well, you know, and how has COVID changed your life as a travel writer? Because so many people are sticking close to home.
Yeah, that's, we've even not gone camping as much as we typically do. And I think it's just gotten in our heads that we need to stay, close to home. So we've explored and hiked more around the Madison area than ever before, maybe. But in terms of my larger travels, going overseas and such, wow. And no end in sight at the moment. So I don't know when that's going to come back. But, we adapt. And the outdoors is just a great option to be able to be distanced from other people and to just get away from it all. Now's the time to do that sort of thing, I think.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for joining us. It's always good to talk with you.
Thanks for having me on again.
Kevin Revelinsky is a travel writer, photographer. His blog is called The Mad Traveler. He's author of 15 travel books, travel guides. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.